Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Our next storyteller is Diane Beck. It was supposed to be Diane Beck. Life was not very kind to Diane this week, and she is home resting after a bout with an infection. Bruce Beck, her partner in all things for the last 40 years, is now subbing in for her. You may remember from the last Story Slam that Bruce is a retired psychologist in Norman, Illinois, which seems like an oxymoron. He's been writing short plays for over 10 years and has had his work performed across the U.S. and Canada. He lives with Diane and their three crazy cats. Please welcome Bruce.
Thank you. Yeah, Diane really did want to be here. For those of you who know her, she had a systemic infection. She's better. It's under control, but you know, these are things. She didn't have the energy. She just got out of the hospital yesterday, so she did not have the energy to do this. And so she said, you know this story. So it was December 26th, 1989, day after Christmas. And I was driving our station wagon with my wife and my four-year-old son, and a pile of presents because we had visited both grandparents on Christmas Day with a four-year-old son. Yes. No, you know what I'm talking about. So I was driving on Route 55, and we were coming from Hinsdale back to Normal. And as I'm driving, the thought went through my head, I've made a terrible mistake. The terrible mistake was that I was driving through one of the worst blizzards I've ever driven through. Visibility was at best maybe 4 to 6 car lengths ahead of me. Oftentimes it was the end of the hood. And it was coming down and coming down and coming down. So I got onto the highway and we're driving, and at some point I saw there was another car ahead of us. And so I thought, well, I'm gonna watch this car and we'll see what happens to them. And as I'm having that, talk about random act of kindness, you know, let it happen to them first. And it happened to them first. They hit a patch of black ice and they spun off the highway and into the ditch. And I remember that I could see there was an exit ramp. This is around Gardner, if you're familiar with the territory. Yeah, I see a lot of heads. There's an exit ramp. And so I was turning to my wife to say to her, I'm gonna get off at this exit ramp and get out of this storm. And as I turned to her, I lost control of the car. We hit the same black ice, we spun out. And as we're spinning around, I noticed that the person who has been driving the car that had just gone off had gotten out of the car and was standing behind the car, which I was now headed towards with no control over my vehicle. We missed her literally by inches. And so I'm sitting there trying to recover and remembering how I got in that situation in the first place. And it worked like this. I'm stubborn. We got up that morning, there was a blizzard forecast. I'm watching the Weather Channel because I'm a manly kind of man, you know. I wanted information, so I'm watching the Weather Channel. And they didn't have Jim Cantore in those days, so I couldn't really tell how bad it was, you know. And so I was watching, and as I watched, I could see that the edge of the blizzard was right along Route 55. So I said to my wife, you know, all we got to do is make it to Route 55 and we'll be fine. And she believed me. So it's only about 10 miles from my in-law's house to the highway, and so we packed everything into the car and got off on and made it down to Route 55, and I realized very quickly that I had made a frightful error, and that was that storms tend to move from north to south. So this line of storm that was on Route 55 was now down at Joliet. And I was, instead of driving through the storm, I was driving into the storm. So we had spun out, and I got out, I checked the other woman's car, made sure it was okay. I couldn't get our car to start for some reason. So I'm standing there in the middle of a blizzard, and I see on the other lane a tow truck go by, and I waved to him, and he flashed his lights, and he went up to the closest ramp, turned around and came back to us, and the guy got out. And let's say his name was Jim, because the tow truck guy is kind of, you know, impersonal. So Jim looked at the other car, and we pushed that out, and she just drove right on. Us, on the other hand, couldn't get my car started. So Jim said, okay, I'm going to tow you back to the service station. I said, okay, cool. So we hooked it up. We all got into the front seat of his tow truck, which was a challenge. But fortunately, my son was 4, so he wasn't real big. Nowadays, it'd be another story. And we made it to the gas station. And then we're like, well, now what? Because they said, we're going to close the station at 5 o'clock. You got to find some place to go. And we're like, where do you go? So Jim and I had a talk, and we said, look, Jim said, I can take you to Pontiac. I can't take you all the way to Bloomington, but I can take you to Pontiac. I said, okay, sure. Well, surely there's a place to stay in Pontiac. So my wife got on the telephone, the payphone on the wall, because this was 1989, remember? She got out the phone book.
What's that?
I know. I feel old. I'm getting older just telling the story. And she called the hotels in Pontiac, both of them, and got the last hotel room in Pontiac for the night. So we said to Jim, if you can get us to this hotel, we've got a place to stay. Jim said, cool. Got to the end of his shift. He brought us these giant clear bags that we put all the presents that were in, you know. So we put that there, and we had to put them in plastic bags because they went in the back of his pickup truck. So we're driving through the blizzard in Jim's pickup truck to on our way to Pontiac. We get to Pontiac and made it to the hotel. Finally, which, oh, by the way, is one of those that's, you know, it's got the rooms, it's like a motel, except it's on 2 levels. Guess what? We were on the 2nd floor. So Jim helped us move all of our stuff up to our room, and then he said something along the lines of, when's the last time you guys had food? And we're like, well, we were kind of thinking we were going to get home, you know, and have a meal. So he said, look, there's a McDonald's across the street. Let me go see what I can rustle up for you. Now, I went with him. So we go into the McDonald's. They're getting ready to close. And I said to them, what else have you got left? And they said, well, we got some nuggets. We got a couple burgers, a bunch of fries. I said, just give me all of it. And Jim offered to pay for it, which I thought was nice because I don't think I had any cash on me. So end of the evening, we got ourselves situated in the hotel room, and we thanked Jim profusely, and he got home okay. The next morning, Diane found another payphone somewhere, and yeah, probably, and she called one of her coworkers. She was working at Mark Center at the time. And the coworker brought the agency van up, and we put all of our stuff back into that, and she drove us home. But we weren't done with Jim yet. You know, I mean, this wouldn't be that good a story if he just drove home. So this is Tuesday the 27th when we get home. On the 28th, we get a phone call from Jim saying, hey, State Farm's been here, and they totaled out your car. We said, well, that's wonderful. What do we drive now? Well, that's a whole nother story. But he then said, I noticed you got a really nice, are you ready for this, cassette player in your car.
What's that?
It was an 8-track, now come on. And he said, would you like me to take it out before they total out the car? And I said, sure. And he said, I come down to Bloomington every now and then, I can drop it off. I said, that's wonderful of you. So he did that, and about a week later, he came down to Bloomington for something, picking up parts or whatever, and he came to our house, and I got the tape player, which I eventually installed in our next vehicle, well, which I drove a lot more carefully. And my wife had prepared for him one of those, you know, the popcorn tins you get at Christmas. She had filled that with chocolate chip cookies, because somewhere along the line, she asked him, what's your favorite kind of cookie? And he said, chocolate chip. So we presented him with this tin full of cookies. We also wrote a letter to his boss saying, you have no idea what a good guy this is. Because he really made a tremendously awful situation that much better for us, and we are so grateful for him. And at one point, you know, while I've been sitting in the hospital for the last week and running this story through my head, and at one point I had a really catchy ending for this story, which I no longer have in my head. Endings are hard, you know, let me tell you, as a playwright, let me tell you, endings are hard. But it's always been an inspiration for us. You know, he didn't have to do any of that, and he did. And, you know, again, it's like she said, it's little things that we do for each other that we really do remember. And if you think back on your life, yeah, there's the big things, but, you know, it doesn't take much to be kind. So practice it every day. Thank you. Mm-hmm.